Well, I want to give you a test tonight. We've got a couple of our professors here, and so I thought I would impress them by giving you a little test. Who can tell me where in the Bible it is found where it says this? Here's what it says. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, it taketh money to maketh money." How many know where that's found at? It's found in the index. Actually, that's found in the book of First Opinions. No, actually, that's not in the Bible at all, although a lot of people have the idea that maybe it is, but the truth of the matter is it's not found in the Bible at all. The truth of the matter is that idea that it takes money to make money, that is actually a myth. It's actually a myth. Because the Bible does say this, and you better check me on this, just make sure I read it right, okay? Look at Proverbs chapter 14. In the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23, here's what the Bible does say. It says, "In all labor there is profit. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury," or another word for that would be poverty. In other words, it doesn't take money to make money, it just takes good old-fashioned hard work. And we can talk about, "I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to get this, and I want to go here," and we can talk and talk, we can talk a good game plan. But if we never put any of that game plan into action, then we just end up in poverty, because there is no wealth in talking. There is wealth in working. Okay? There's wealth in working. In other words, the only thing needed for us to get wealth is just old-fashioned hard work. I'm always amazed. I love to watch these, what they have on TV every now and then about entrepreneurs, and these, they go back and they give you these rags to riches stories. Have you ever seen those where a guy starts out with absolutely nothing? I remember years ago we saw the story of the fellow who started Mustafa, you know. Started out with a little cart on the side of the road. And now he owns the whole road, you know. I mean, man, he's got a complex over there that won't quit. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Here's a guy that started with absolutely nothing, and yet builds this great fortune. Those stories. To be honest, the reason why we're impressed with them is because they're rare. They're rare. And the reason why they're rare is because most people, instead of working hard and being diligent and all of that, they're too busy looking for shortcuts. If we would work as hard at getting rich as we work at looking for a shortcut to get rich, we would all be millionaires. Okay? But many times people fail simply because they're looking for a shortcut. They want a get-rich-quick scheme. See, they want a get-rich-quick scheme. And they're wanting something that will be quick, something that will be easy, that they will be able to amass a huge amount of wealth in a short amount of time and not have to put out a whole lot of sweat to do it. That's what we like. That's what we want. And of course, there are many such schemes that are available. There are many such schemes that are available. However, there is a catch. There is a catch. In order to get a quick and a large return on our initial investments, we must be willing to take some kind of risk. And of course, the size of the reward is determined by the amount of risk that you take. And there are two things that I want us to notice, because this is very important for us. You see, as Christians, we have to deal with the question, does taking such a risk with the things that God has entrusted to us, does taking a risk with that which belongs really to God, how does that fit in our life? How does that fit? So in dealing with the question, there are a couple of things I want us to notice. Number one, the gambler. And I'm not talking about the song by Kenny Rogers. The gambler. Wilson Misner was an American playwright. He died back in 1933, and he said it very well when he defined gambling. And here's the definition that he gave for gambling. He said this. He said, gambling, the sure way of getting nothing from something. Think about it. Gambling, a sure way to get nothing from something. And yet many people today have the idea that gambling is a quick way and it is an easy way to become financially secure. There are many people that have read the testimonies of those winners who have struck it rich. Wow, did you see in the paper? So-and-so won $5 million. If it happened once, it'll happen again. I'll go try. Right? And we read the testimonies of these people who have struck it rich, and so therefore, with high hopes that it will happen to them, they will turn on their computer. Now, I didn't realize this until I was studying for this message. But I have learned that there are over 1,700 gambling sites on the internet. 1,700. Just think about it. If you only lost $10 at each one, 1,700. You can now gamble in the privacy of your own home all by yourself. Just you and your computer, you know. 1,700 gambling sites. Or they'll line up to buy various lottery tickets. Toto, 4D, Singapore Sweep, you know. And they'll line up to buy their lottery tickets thinking that surely I'll be lucky and I'll get the grand prize. Or they'll go and they'll put their bets on their football teams or football matches or whatever. And so they'll line up in order to do that. Or there are some that'll even make the trip to the casino in order to play the games that are offered there. And they'll lay down their money and they'll buy the chips that are needed, and they'll visit the roulette wheel, and they'll visit the blackjack table, or they'll visit the slot machines, commonly called one-arm bandits. That's what they are. They have one arm and they rob you, right? So they're one-arm bandits. And so they'll go there and they'll stick their money in there and come home with an empty pocket. Now, as we've already said, every person who takes their hard-earned money and places a bet does so with great expectations. They do so with great hope. They're driven by the hope that this bet will lead them to riches. Just one more. I know this is the lucky one. Just one more. And they have great hopes. They have high expectations. Nobody ever went into a casino and laid down their money and said, "Boy, I sure hope I lose." If they did that, they wouldn't be disappointed. But nobody ever does that. Nobody ever does that. But there are a couple of things that every gambler is in danger of losing. There are a couple of things that every gambler is in danger of losing, and that's what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes. Number one, letter A, he is in danger of facing the loss of money. The loss of money. There are many statistics that have been given, and I'm just going to give you one of them. According to the National Safety Council in the United States, the National Safety Council, between 70 and 120 people die each year after being struck by lightning. Every year, that many people will die being struck by lightning. So, between 70 and 120, okay? So, let's just sort of come to the middle and let's take a base number of 100. That's a nice round number. So, let's take the base number of 100. And the U.S. has a population of about 265 million people. So with a base of 200 and 265 million people, that means that the chances of you being killed by lightning in America, okay, the chances of you being killed by lightning in America roughly works out to about 2,650,000 to 1. In other words, you can probably take a trip to America and survive the lightning. The odds are very much in your favor that you will survive. Okay? However, 2,650,000, you are six, depending on different various equations that they put in, but you are anywhere from 6 to 45 times more likely to die from lightning than you are to win the lottery. The odds don't look good, folks. I can't even count all the zeros that are out there, but doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. And that's why, even though lotteries, and that's why the casinos, even though they pay out millions of dollars to winners in order to keep the gullible interested, that's what they do. They'll pay out millions to winners in order to keep everybody else interested, keep everybody else trying. Yet the truth of the matter is they are still raking in billions of dollars in profit every year. You need to remember something. Those who run the lotteries and those who run the casinos are in business to make themselves rich with your money. They are not in business to make you rich with their money. You got that? That's why they're in business. That's why they're in business. And so from the very moment you enter in to this thing of gambling, you need to understand, to use a good gambling term, the deck is stacked against you. The deck is stacked against you. When it comes to gambling, I like the comment made by Warren Buffett, an American businessman and an investor. He said this. He said, rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. Okay? That's two good rules to live by. Two good rules to live by. Gambling is not a reliable way. It is not a reliable way of getting wealth or increasing your wealth. Rather, it is actually a foolish way of wasting and throwing away the resources that your Heavenly Father has entrusted to you. That's what gambling is. That's what gambling is. I believe Solomon had games of chance in mind when he penned these words over in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 22. Here's what he said. He that hasteneth to be rich. What's he talking about there? He's talking about somebody who is looking for a shortcut. Somebody who's looking for an easy way to get wealth. Looking for somebody who's trying to find something besides work to put money in their pocket. He that hasteneth to be rich, notice it, hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. See, that's where it all ends up. That's where it all ends up. All ends up in poverty, not wealth. It ends up with wasted wealth that has resulted in actual poverty. That's what gambling will do for you. It'll make you lose your money. There's another thing. There's another thing that the gambler will lose, and that is the loss of control. The loss of control. More and more evidence, as studies are being done, more and more evidence is coming out that gambling is highly addictive. It is highly addictive. In fact, studies have shown that statistically, out of every 7 teenagers, out of every 7 teenagers who start playing the gambling game, one of those 7 will become addicted to gambling. Statistics show that out of every 10 adults who start gambling, one of them will become addicted to gambling. And in fact, it is claimed that gambling is the fastest growing addiction. More than alcohol, more than drugs, gambling is the fastest growing addiction in America today. And I don't know where it stands here in Singapore. But I've been on visitation, and I've heard the mahjong tiles. And I've seen the drawers opening, you know. Yeah. It's addicting. People fall into the snare of wanting to get rich quick. They become controlled by the hope that this last bet is going to put me over the top. This last bet is going to put me on easy street. And so because they are controlled by a desire, just one more bet, just one more wager, surely one more lottery ticket is going to do the deal. And so they end up and they destroy their families. They destroy their families. The average divorce rate for those who are addicted to gambling is double that of non-gamblers. It destroys families. The addiction to gambling not only destroys their family, it destroys their reputation. Destroys their reputation. It is said that 65% of addicted gamblers will commit crimes in order to support their gambling. They're just like drug addicts. They will commit crimes to support their gambling, ruining their reputation. Not only do they destroy their families, destroy their reputations, but they will destroy their lives. They destroy their lives after they realize that they have been caught in a snare from which there seems to be no escape. Addicted gamblers will attempt suicide. They will attempt suicide. 1 out of every 7 addicted gamblers will at some point try to kill themselves. They'll try to take their own life. That's a proven statistic. And unfortunately, some of them will be successful in their attempt, and they will actually commit suicide. The evidence shows that the suicide rate for addicted gamblers is 20 times higher than the suicide rate for non-gamblers. 20 times higher. It is a controlling thing that will destroy you on every level. It'll destroy you on every level. This is the very thing the Apostle Paul was talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and verse number 10, here's what he said. He said, "They that will be rich." In other words, this is those who with their own will, they have determined, "I'm going to get rich. I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to be the king of Wall Street. I'm sorry, Orchard Boulevard. I'm going to be wealthy." Say, "I will be rich." And notice what he said. "They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil." Notice it. "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Many sorrows. Bottom line, because it has the power to take control of our life, gambling is something that no Christian should be involved in. Because it has the power to take control in your life, no Christian should be involved with it. Notice the principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 12, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. He said, "All things are lawful unto me." Now, some people would stop right there. Okay, yeah, see, it's okay to gamble. The Bible says so. All things are lawful for me. Well, let's keep reading, okay? Let's keep reading. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." What does that mean? It simply means while all things are lawful, not everything is smart. Not everything is wise. Not everything is best. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Notice it. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You see, as Christians, we need to stay away from things that have the power to take control in our life. Yeah, I'm talking about gambling, but this principle can apply to so many different areas. It may not say in the Bible, "Thou shalt not do this and this and this and this." But folks, if that thing has the power to take control of your life, then you need to stay away from it. Because here's why. As believers in Jesus Christ, there is only one thing that ought to control our life, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. If it has the power to control you, if it is an addictive habit that has the power to rule in your life, then you need to flee from it. You need to stay away from it and have nothing to do with it, lest it bring upon you not only physical poverty, but spiritual poverty as well. The gambler. There's another thing that I want us to notice. The investor. The investor. Of course, investing is not strictly limited to the stock market. We understand that. Some people invest in business ventures. They invest in starting a business of their own. They invest in real estate. They invest in commodities. They will invest in currencies, and the list can go on and on and on, all different kinds of things that we can invest in. But regardless of your chosen investment vehicle, the biblical principles of investing will apply across the board. The biblical principles of investing will apply across the board. While investing is certainly different from gambling, investing is different from gambling. Gambling is never right. Okay? Gambling is never right. Do you understand that? Gambling is never right. Okay? It's never right. But while investing is different from gambling, we should remember that those who are on the inside do not call it playing the market for nothing. Right? They don't call it playing the market for nothing. There is a lot of money that can be made in the stock market by those who are diligent and those who are able to read and understand the ebb and the flow of the markets. There's a lot of money that can be made. A lot of money can be made. By the way, there's a lot of money that can be lost too if you blink at the wrong time, you know, and there's a lot that can be lost. A lot that can be lost. The amount of money made, the amount of money lost, depends on the amount of risk. Bottom line, it depends on the amount of risk that you are willing to take. Bottom line, it's a gamble. Right? It's a gamble. However, for those who have neither the time nor the skill to watch the markets, and those who are not able to buy and sell at the right times, there's a handy little thing called mutual funds. Mutual funds. This is a company that will take your money. They will make investments on your behalf. They'll watch the markets and they'll buy, they'll sell, they'll move your stocks around in order to make money for you and, of course, primarily for them. Right? That is their business, okay? It's their business. But here's the point I want you to understand. While investing in the markets may be statistically safer than visiting a casino, even in investing, there are some serious dangers that we need to be aware of. There are some serious dangers that we need to understand. First of all, there is the danger of investing with wrong motives. The danger of investing with wrong motives. This is basically the same principle we saw last week. Remember last week we were talking about savings accounts, we were talking about insurance, and you remember we learned last week that those things in themselves are not sinful, provided we maintain a right attitude about those things. And the same thing is true of investing. Same thing is true of investing. Whether investing is right or wrong is determined by our motives. It's determined by our motives. Remember, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 2. In Proverbs 16, verse number 2, the Bible says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes." Isn't it amazing how we look at what we're doing? Now, what Brother Luke's doing, it's all wrong. But I do the very same thing and it's all right. You know, it's everything a man does, it's clean in his own eyes. But, listen carefully, the Lord weigheth the spirits. The idea here is simply, while we may justify what we do, God not only looks at what we do, God weighs the spirit, He weighs the motives of why we do what we do. See? God weighs the motives. God weighs the motives. Wrong motives. I'm going to give you three of them real quick because we're running out of time fast. wrong motives for investing. Greed. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. You can look it up and read it later. Greed is a wrong motive. If your ambition in investing is simply, I will be rich. Remember the verse we read a while ago? You're setting yourself up for trouble. Greed is never a right motive for investing. Envy. Psalms chapter 73, verse number 3. Envy is never a right motive for investing. I'm going to invest and invest and invest and invest. Why? So I can be on the same financial level as my neighbor. I want to be just like them. I want to have the same car, the same house, the same big screen TV. I want to have it all. I want everything they got. I want. I'm envious of that, and I want to. And so I'm going to invest so I can be like them. That's envy. That's a wrong motive for investing. Pride. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Pride. The desire to be financially independent so I can proudly say I don't depend on anybody, not even God, to take care of me. See, that's a wrong motive, right? That's a wrong motive. That's a wrong motive for investing. So there is investing with wrong motives. That's a danger. Before investing, you need to search your heart. More importantly, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart and try your motives to make sure they're pure, make sure they're right. There's another danger that comes with investing, and that is this. Investing in wrong ventures. There is the danger of investing in wrong ventures. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 32. In Romans chapter 1, verse 32, here's what the Apostle Paul said. In his description of wicked men, the Apostle Paul said, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The wicked are worthy of death because they partake of that which is evil. The wicked are worthy of death because they do that which is evil in the sight of God. And not only do they partake in this evil personally, but Paul said they find pleasure in leading other people into their wickedness. Right? They find pleasure in doing that. But there's a principle there that we need to understand that we can apply to us. Let me illustrate with an example. I do not drink alcoholic drinks. I don't drink any alcoholic drinks. But suppose I have some money and I want to invest it. And so I invest in a company that produces alcoholic drinks. The natural result of that, even though I am not committing the sin, the natural result is, just like the wicked man, I begin to find pleasure in those who are drinking. And I begin to find pleasure in those who are living a life of drunkenness. You see, because of my investments in that company, I am putting myself in a position where I cannot be bothered, I cannot be concerned about the destruction and the pain and the heartache that my product is causing for other people. Rather, as an investor, my feelings are... The more they drink, the more my stock value goes up, the more money goes in my pocket. So, I'm a Christian, I don't drink, but y'all live it up, okay? Live it up, live it up. Now, some companies on the stock exchange seem decent enough when you look at them. Some companies seem decent enough. For example, you look on there and you see companies like American Express. Don't leave home without it. Okay? UPS. By the way, I'm not going to tell you. UPS. Okay, I'll tell you later. UPS. Hyatt Hotels. Man, that's pretty impressive. Good companies. They've been around for a long time. Solid stock value. Invest in that, you can't go wrong, right? Wrong. Did you know all three of those companies that I just named, plus many others, do a Google search on it, have stated their full-fledged support for the homosexual agenda, which is totally contrary to our biblical principles. You have no business investing in such companies. You have no business investing in such companies. How about companies like Walt Disney, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck? What's not to love, right? Walt Disney, Bank of America, Hewlett Packard. How many have a Hewlett Packard printer? I don't raise your hand. Good, solid companies, been around for a long time. Good investment, right? Not for a Christian. Because those companies, plus many more, do a Google search on it. Those companies, plus many more, have publicly stated their support for Planned Parenthood and abortions on demand, which is nothing more than the wholesale murder of the unborn. Bottom line, we must remember that when we join hands with a company as an investor, when we join hands with a company as an investor, we become a partaker in their evil deeds. We become a partaker in their evil deeds. But suppose a person says, well, no, Pastor, you don't understand. See, I really love the Lord. And so I'm taking all this money that God has given to me, and I'm going to invest it in these companies that you've mentioned. They're solid companies. They give a good return. And I'm going to invest my money there, but I'm not going to support homosexuality. I'm not going to support those things. I'm going to take all of that money that I make from that investment, and I'm going to give it to HBC. Now, if you give it to Pastor Crocker, I'll take it. But let me show you a principle. Let me show you a principle found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23. Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse number 18. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, or the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know what that means? That simply means this. God refuses to accept offerings that are earned from wicked actions. God says, I won't take it. I won't accept it. I'll not have it. Don't bring it to my house. I don't want it. I don't want it. And as His children, as His ambassadors, as His stewards, we should not desire to be personally enriched by those things that are offensive to the holiness of our Heavenly Father. See? It's a danger. Investing in wrong things. Let me close with this. I remember a TV commercial that I saw some years ago. Interestingly enough, it was a commercial advertising a brokerage firm. A brokerage firm. But here was their commercial, and they would end it with this. They said, at Smith & Barney, we make money the old-fashioned way.
We earn it. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. That perfectly agrees with what Solomon said in Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gotten by vanity. In other words, wealth that is gotten without any work, without any labor, wealth that is gotten through gambling or through playing the markets or whatever, wealth that is gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor, hard work, the Bible says, they shall increase. They shall increase. In other words, wealth that is not the result of honest industry and hard labor is seldom permanent. Those fortunes acquired by luck, that is gambling, and by speculation, that is investing, will lead men to selfish indulgence and foolish pride, and therefore those riches will soon be wasted away and lost. But even if we manage to hold on to it, even if we manage to hold on to all that we gain of this world's goods, you will still find that in that day to come, you will discover to your much sadness that just like the man in Luke chapter 12, verse 21, you are not rich toward God. Not rich toward God. You see, true wealth, is never gauged by what you have in this life. True wealth is always judged by what you will have in eternity. That's what true wealth is. May God help each of us to be good stewards of the money, to be good stewards of the possessions that He has entrusted to us and provided for us so that we might have true riches and that we might have eternal riches that will glorify and honor Him and bring us joy throughout all the endless ages of eternity. The whole purpose of this series is that one point, that we all might be rich toward God. May God help it to be so. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight.